الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so continuing from where we left off in عمدة الأحكام, we began the biography of the great Sahabi Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. As we mentioned, this great Sahabi, his biography deserves some attention because of the importance of his position in Islam. Of course, all the Sahaba have an important position to us in Islam. But Umar radiallahu anhu and the likes of Abu Bakr, and especially the Khulafa al-Rashideen, have a special place in the history of the Ummah. And so it is befitting that we take some time to learn about this great and illustrious Sahabi, insha'Allah ta'ala. And just to recap quickly on what we've done so far, we were talking about, we are at the hadith, the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى, and so on. And we talked about the importance of this hadith, and that it's one of the foundations of Islam. Because the hadith talks about intention, and it talks about ikhlas, and this is one of the foundations of Islam, if not the greatest foundation of Islam. And we mentioned some of the opinions of the scholars regarding this hadith, some of the salaf, and what they talk about, what they mention about it, and that they say, some of them say that it is a third of Islam, and some of them mention it as a fourth or a fifth, and so on. Along with some other hadith, but all of them mention this hadith as being one of the great foundations of Islam. So continuing, we mentioned that the name of Umar, along with his lineage, is Umar ibn al-Khattab, ibn Nufail, ibn Abdul Uzza, ibn Riyah, ibn Abdullah, ibn Qurt, ibn Razah, ibn Adi, ibn Ka'ab ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn ibn Fihr al-Adawi al-Qurashi. He's Adawi because of Adi. Al-Adawi because of Adi. That is his ascription to Adi, one of his fathers. Al-Qurashi because he's from Quraysh, who is said to be Fihr. And his lineage intersects with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Ka'ab ibn Lu'ay. All of the Arabs of Adnan, their lineages intersect with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at some point. And we mentioned that his mother is, her name was Hantama bint Hashim. Not Hisham bint Hashim. She is the cousin of Abu Jahl. Okay. So his kunya, that he was well known for, was Abu Hafs. Abu Hafs. And Hafs in Arabic is Asad, a lion. It's another name for a lion. He was known by this kunya during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course afterwards. And there are many narrations that say that the person who gave him this kunya is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is what some of the scholars say, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this kunya. But the ahadith that some of them use as evidence doesn't really indicate that he gave him the kunya per se. It does indicate that he was known by this kunya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him by this kunya, but is not explicit in saying that he gave him this kunya. The ones that do are weak, so Allah knows best. And one of his epithets, or sort of a nickname, is Al-Faruq. 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 And Ibn al-Mulaqqin says that it is agreed that this was one of his epithets. He says, because he used to differentiate between the truth and the falsehood. Al-Faruq. Between the truth and the falsehood. And that his becoming a Muslim, helped Islam to become more prominent. Okay, some people say that this epithet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him Al-Faruq, but this hadith is da'if. It's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, but it is weak. It is a weak hadith. And some say that the ones who named him as Faruq are the people of the book. They say it's Ahlul Kitab who named him as Al-Faruq. It's narrated from Az-Zuhri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says the Muslims used to narrate that from the people of the book. He said, rahimahullah, it did not reach us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that about him, that he was Al-Faruq. Meaning, didn't reach us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who named him that, but rather it was the people of the book. This is authentic to Az-Zuhri. This is authentic to Az-Zuhri. It's possible that the people of the book found him like that in their books, because the Sahaba are mentioned in their books, as well as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, but also some of the descriptions of his Sahaba are also mentioned in there. And so it's possible that they found it in there. They found Umar radiallahu anhu in there as Al-Faruq. Oh, it was narrated also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who named him as Al-Faruq. In a hadith that says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ الْفَارُوقُ فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. إن الله جعل الحق على لسان عمر وقلبه وهو الفاروق فرق الله به بين الحق والباطل. It translates as Allah may place the truth on the tongue of Umar and his heart, and in his heart, and he is Al-Faruq. Allah used him to differentiate between the truth and the falsehood. But it is a weak hadith. It is a weak hadith. It's just good to know. So it is a weak hadith, however. So the most authentic thing that we have is from Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah. That is from the people of the book. Now some people say it was the Muslims that named him that. Some people say it was the Muslims that named him that. However, we don't really have any narration per se to support it. Umar radiallahu anhu was also known as Amirul Mu'mineen. This was after he became the Khalifa, after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was the first person to become known as Amirul Mu'mineen. He was the first person to be called Amirul Mu'mineen. He was the first person to be known as Amirul Mu'mineen. And the reason why he became known as Amirul Mu'mineen was that he had written to one of the people that he placed in charge of Al-Iraq. He had written to one of the people he had put over Al-Iraq to send him two men who were of strong character and noble, so that he can ask them about Iraq and its people, what's going on in Al-Iraq. And so the man in charge of Iraq sent him two men. Sent him Labid ibn Rabi'a and Adi ibn Hatim. The two Sahaba. Labid ibn Rabi'a and Adi ibn Hatim. He sent him these two men. So when they came to Medina, and they tied up their riding beasts near the masjid, in the open space near the masjid, and they entered the masjid and found Amr ibn al-As. They found Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. They entered the masjid and found Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu in there, and they said to him, "Give us or seek permission for us to enter upon Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar, the leader of the believers." So they said, "Seek permission for us to enter upon the leader of believers, Umar." So he rose to his feet, or jumped to his feet, and entered upon Umar and said to him, "Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." He entered and said, "Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." So Umar said to him, "For what reason do you bring this name? How did you come upon this name, Ibn al-As? Ya Ibn al-As, you will stop saying it." He said, "You will stop saying it." So he said, "Na'am." That is Amr. Amr said, "Yes, Labid ibn Rabi'a and Adi ibn Hatim came, and they said to me, 'Give us permission to enter upon Amir al-Mu'mineen.' So I said to them, by Allah, you have, or the name that you have given him is correct. The name that you have given him is correct. Indeed, he is the Amir. He is the Amir. He is the leader. وَنَحْنُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And we are the believers. He is the Amir and we are the believers. So this name is correct. And so that is from since that day they started calling him Amirul Mu'mineen. This narration is in Al-Bukhari. This narration is in Adab al-Mufrad, sorry. It's in Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Bukhari. But its sanad is authentic. It has an authentic chain. So it's in Adab al-Mufrad. And Shaykh al-Albani also said that it is authentic. He said it is authentic in his Sahih Adab al-Mufrad. Before that, they used to call him Khalifatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to call him Khalifatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Abu Bakr was known as the Khalifa, Khalifatu Rasulillah. That's what they used to call Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. Khalifatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they called Umar the Khalifa, of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after that day, they started calling him Amirul Mu'mineen. Some people say that the reason why he was called Amirul Mu'mineen is that the Muslims, they found it too long to say Khalifa to Khalifa to Rasulillahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They found it too long to say that. But it's a weak narration. There's another narration that says that he was the one who decided to call himself that. It's also weak. So the authentic narration is the one that we mentioned earlier. This laqab of Amirul Mu'mineen is mentioned in the book in the books of the Ahlul Kitab as well. It's mentioned, or rather, this one we know that it is mentioned according to authentic narrations, Hassan, that a man from amongst the people of the book, came to Umar and said to him, As-salamu alayka ya malik al-arab. He said to him, As-salamu alayka, king of the Arabs. So Umar, radiallahu anhu, said to him, wa alayk. He said, wa alayk. Then he said, kadhalika tajiduhu fi kitabikum alaysa. So he said, is that what you have in your books? Meaning, why are you calling me king? Because he wasn't a king. He was a khalifa, radiallahu anhu. And there's a difference. Because kings, their children inherit the throne, their leadership. And we didn't have a king until Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan was the first king in Islam. So Umar said, is that what you have in your books? أَلَيْسَ تَجِدُ نَبِيًّا ثُمَّ خَلِيفَةً ثُمَّ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ثُمَّ الْمُلُوكُ. He said, do you not find that it is a prophet, then a khalifa, then a leader of the believers, then the kings? قَالَ بَلَى. قَالَ بَلَى. He said, indeed. So he agreed with Umar. And this is a Hassan narration. Umar was not a king. He was a khalifa, was the leader of the believers. And after him, Uthman, then after him, Ali. All of them were khulafa and leaders of the believers. Then after that, we had kings. After the four, we had kings. His birth date, as far as his birth date or his birth date is concerned, then there are different opinions. And inshallah, the most authentic opinion is that he was born after the year of the elephant, or he was born 13 years after the year of the elephant. He was born 13 years after the year of the elephant. Of course, the year of the elephant is the year in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. Which is well known. It is well known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 13 years older than Umar. And this is supported by the fact that, and this is sahih, it is supported by the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar all died at the age of 63. They all died at the ages at the age of 63. This is narrated by Muslim, and so Umar he lived 13 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived 13 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means that he was, if his age was 63, then that supports the idea that he was born 13 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet also died at the age of 63, and Umar lived 13 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So other than that, any narrations other than that that mention when he was born are not authentic. They are not authentic, so we won't bother going into them. So some of his description also is that he was Adamul Lawn, which is a sort of a dark brown. He was a dark brown, asla', bald, tiwal, very tall. He had dark brown skin. He was bald and very tall, tiwal. Very broad-shouldered. He had a big beard and a large body, and he was very strong. He was known for his strength, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they say whenever he was angry, he used to twirl his mustache. Which would mean that he had a long one. He would twirl his mustache and breathe in and out heavily. And he used to be ambidextrous, which means that he could use his both hands equally well. He could use both hands equally well. If that is authentic, and Allah knows best. Some people say that is not authentic, that he was ambidextrous. So Allah knows best. There are narrations that say that Umar radiallahu anhu buried one of his daughters alive in Jahiliyyah, but none of the narrations are authentic. None of the narrations are authentic that he buried one of his daughters alive, as is narrated, especially amongst the awam. Also, the story of his Islam. The story of his Islam, that he was going to find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he met someone who told him that his sister had become a Muslim. And then he went to the house where he found his sister, a Sahabi, and his brother-in-law, who was married to his sister, they're reciting Taha. And then he entered, and then they had this whole thing where he was beating him up, and then he said, "What is the whispering I heard earlier?" And she said to him, go take a bath because you're not pure. And then he went and took a bath and then he read it and then so on and so forth. He became a Muslim. And then they went to find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where, and they found with him Hamza radiallahu anhu. And so on until they went out in two files and they were marching and all this. All these narrations are weak. They're very weak. They have someone who's matruq in the chain. So that none of these are authentic. The story of his Islam is a series of events. It's a series of events. That I'm not really going to go into because it's quite a long story. But it's a series of events. But the point is that those ones are not weak and some are not authentic. And some people use them, particularly the one where he supposedly went out with Hamza ahead of a file, a line of the Sahaba, and Hamza leading the other, the other group, and they went into two lines. People use it as evidence for demonstrating. They use it as evidence that you can demonstrate. Say, oh look, Umar did it, radiallahu anhu, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the narrations are weak, so there's no evidence for them in that at all. And that's why I mentioned it. It is said that he became a Muslim, radiallahu anhu, after the first hijrah to al-Habasha, in the fifth year after Nubuwa, in the fifth year after the prophethood. Some people say sixth year, but Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah says that he did not become a Muslim until the ninth year. He did not become a Muslim until the ninth year. After the prophethood, that is when the prophet became a prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which seems to be more correct. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it's narrated in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, he says, ما زلنا أعزة منذ أسلم عمر ما زلنا أعزة منذ أسلم عمر. He said, we have been أعزة, meaning we had clout since Umar became a Muslim, because Umar was strong and he was noble, came from a strong tribe, a strong family, and he was strong himself, radiallahu anhu, very strong and especially when it came to the truth. When it came to the truth, he was very strong. So some of the virtues of Umar, radiallahu anhu, some of the virtues of Umar, radiallahu anhu, is that they say that the Qur'an agreed with him in six matters. The Qur'an came down in agreement with him in six matters. And as we'll see later, the narration by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that he is one of the people who are inspired. And so, one of the six matters, or some of them, is what is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Umar radiallahu anhu himself narrates it. He says, "Wa faqtu Rabbi fi ثلاث وافقت ربي في ثلاث. وافقت meaning that my opinion coincided with my Lord's opinion in three issues, three things. He said, قلت يا رسول الله لو اتخذت من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. لو اتخذت من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. He said, I said, Messenger of Allah, why don't you take the maqam of Ibrahim, the place where Ibrahim stood, as a place of prayer? Why don't you take it as a place of prayer? He said, فَنَزَلَتْ وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And so the verse, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى came down. And take the maqam of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. He says, وَآيَةُ الْحِجَابِ. So that's the second one. The first one is the one we mentioned. Then the second one, وَآيَةُ الْحِجَابِ. The verse of Al-Hijab. He says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ أَمَرْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ أَمَرْتَ نِسَاءَكَ أَنْ يَحْتَجِبْنَ لَوْ أَمَرْتَ نِسَاءَكَ أَنْ يَحْتَجِبْنَ فَإِنَّهُ يُكَلِّمُهُنَّ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ فَإِنَّهُ يُكَلِّمُهُنَّ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ. He said, I said, Messenger of Allah, why don't you order your women to cover themselves? This was before the hijab. To cover themselves. Because both the righteous and the unrighteous talk to them. They are addressed by both the righteous and the unrighteous. He said, فَنَزَلَتْ آيَةُ الْحِجَابِ. And so the verse of the hijab came down. The verse of the hijab came down. The verse of the hijab is the one in Surah Al-Ahzab. He says, وَاجْتَمَعَ نِسَاءُ النَّبِيِّ. This is the third one now. He says, وَاجْتَمَعَ نِسَاءُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْغِيرَةِ عَلَيْهِ. He said, and the wives of the prophets, some of them, they colluded because of some jealousy. And the story is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a wife that he used to go to who had honey. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love honey, and so some of the other wives plotted to say to him, to tell him that the honey. Smells, that he smells when he, basically that there's a smell. Whenever he came back from that wife, they would say that he smelled, and they knew that he hated all kinds of bad smells. He detested it. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they did that, he swore that he would not ever take honey again. And in any case, that's the story behind Surah Tahrim, the first few verses. So they colluded against him because of their jealousy, radiallahu anhum. It's because of their jealousy, not because of any real malice, but because they were jealous of the other wife. So he said to them, Umar said, فَقُلْتُ لَهُنَّ عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنْ. عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنْ. He said, so I said to them, perhaps his Lord, if he were to divorce you, would give him in exchange for you wives that are better than you. Perhaps his Lord may give him in exchange for you, if he were to divorce you, wives that are better than you. And so the verse came down. The verse is in Surah At-Tahrim. actually word for word. The first part of the verse is like that. So those are three. Those are three. Those are three instances. He says, the fourth instance is the matter of the prisoners of war that they took at the Battle of Badr. The prisoners of war that they took at the Battle of Badr. Ibn Abbas, he's narrating from Umar, radiallahu anhuma. He says, فَلَمَّا أَسِرُوا الْأُسَارَىٰ. When they took the prisoners, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, said to Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma, ما ترون في هؤلاء الأسارى. What do you think we should do about these prisoners? ما ترون في هؤلاء الأسارى. So Abu Bakr, فقال أبو بكر, Abu Bakr said, يا نبي الله هم بنو العم والعشيرة. So Abu Bakr said, Prophet of Allah, they are our cousins and they are our tribesmen. They are our cousins and they are our tribesmen. أرى أن تأخذ منهم فدية فتكون أو فتكون لنا قوة على الكفار. He said, I see that you should take a ransom for them. You should take a ransom for them so that it can be strength for us over the disbelievers. That is financial strength. Because, of course, they were very, very poor during those days. They didn't have many resources. They didn't have much in the way of resources. And so that was Abu Bakr's opinion. He said, فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُمْ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And perhaps Allah might guide them to Islam. If we keep them alive, then we take a ransom. We use that to increase our resources. And then also they might benefit from being kept alive if Allah guides them to Islam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So that was Abu Bakr's opinion. Then the messenger turned to Umar. He said to him, مَا تَرَى يَا بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ. What's your opinion? What's your opinion, son of Al-Khattab? فَقَالَ عُمَرْ قُلْتُ لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَرَى الَّذِي رَأَى أَبُو بَكْرِ. So Umar said, I said, by Allah, messenger of Allah, he said, no, by Allah, Messenger of Allah, I do not agree with Abu Bakr. I do not agree with Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنِّي أَرَى أَن تُمَكِنَّ فَنَضْرِبَ أَعْنَاقَهُمْ. But I see, this is what I think we should do, is that we should strike their necks. فَتُمَكِّنَ عَلِيًّا مِنْ عُقَيْلٍ. So you should put Ali over Uqayl, that is put Ali to strike the neck of Uqayl. فَيَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ وَتُمَكِّنَنِي مِنْ فُلَان نَسِيبًا لِعُمَر. So he said, and then put me over Fulan, someone who was his relative. فَأَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ فَأَضْرِبَ عُنُقَهُ فَإِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ أَئِمَّةُ الْكُفْرِ وَصَنَادِيدُهَا. He said, because these people are the leaders of kufr. They are the leaders of kufr. They are the leaders of the kufr. And they are the main chiefs, the decision makers. Sanadid, the executives. He said, فَحَوَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose what Abu Bakr said. He says, "Walam yahwi ma qultu," and he didn't agree with what I said. And then the hadith goes on, and it goes on to say that the verses came down. The verses in Surah Al-Anfal. Surah Al-Anfal, verses 67 to 69. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى وَتَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. To the end of the verse. So that's four times. So the fifth time is regarding the when alcohol was to be made impermissible, the prohibition of alcohol. He says that, or they say that Umar radiallahu anhu used to wish that some verses would come down prohibiting alcohol. He used to really want that. And so he said, radiallahu anhu, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shafiya. Which translates roughly as, Allah, give us a clear conclusion in the matter of alcohol. Give us a clear explanation, or clear or concluding explanation, or clarify to us in the matter of alcohol. This was his way of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send something down that would prohibit it. This was his adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, so the verse, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. This is in Surah Baqarah, 219, I believe. 219. So the first verse came down in the prohibiting alcohol, or in the stages of prohibiting alcohol. This verse in Surah Baqarah, which says, they ask you about alcohol and gambling. They ask you about alcohol and gambling. Say to them, there is much sin in them and benefits to the people. There is much sin in them and benefits for the people. And so he says that Umar was called and it was recited to him. This verse was recited to him. And then when it was recited to him, he said, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shafiya. He said the same thing again. Allah, give us a clear and conclusive clarification in the matter of alcohol. He said, فَنَزَلَتْ الْآيَةُ. There's a time between them, there's space between them. But the verse came down, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَىٰ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَىٰ. So this was the next verse to come down, which translates as, you who believe, do not approach the prayer whilst you are drunk. Do not approach the prayer whilst you are drunk. This verse is in Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa, verse 43. He says, فَكَانَ مُنَادِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةُ يُنَادِي أَلَا لَا يَقْرَبَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ سَكْرَانَ. And so the person who used to call, make announcements for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to announce when the prayer was called, time for prayer was called, he used to announce and say, no drunk person should approach the prayer. No drunk person should approach the prayer. And so Umar was called again and it was recited to him. Umar was called again and it was recited to him. Then he said the same thing again. So the first stage, Allah is telling the Muslims that alcohol is bad. It's bad. Has a lot of sin in it. Even though it has benefits, but it has a lot of sin in it. So this is the first stage into telling them to leave it alone. It's better if it's left alone. Then the next stage was to make it impermissible to approach the prayer whilst drunk. And so that, of course, reduces the amount they can drink, because if we have to pray five times a day. So if you have to pray five times a day, you have to limit your alcohol. because you cannot approach the prayer whilst drunk. So you have to watch your alcohol. And then the last stage, after Umar said it again, that Allah should clarify to them, he said, فَنَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ الَّتِي فِي الْمَائِدَةِ. So the verse in Al-Ma'idah came down. The verse in Ma'idah came down. Which is verse, I believe, 90, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijisun min amalish shaytan, fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. So if you want to return to it, it's 90 and 91. So when Allah says فهل أنتم منتهون, Umar said انتهينا. He says انتهينا انتهينا. And this is authentic. This hadith is authentic. So that's the fourth time, or rather the fifth time. Is that the fifth time? Yeah, the fifth time. And the sixth time is when Umar disagreed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in praying over Abdullah bin Ibn Salul, who was the leader of the munafiqun. He was the leader of the hypocrites in Medina. Of course, the hypocrites were in Medina, there were no hypocrites in Mecca. But Abdullah bin Salul, when he died, his son came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Messenger of Allah. He said, Messenger of Allah, give me your shirt so that I can use it to enshroud my father and pray over him. So he asked for his shirt and he asked him to pray over his father, Abdullah bin Salul, Ibn Ubay, Ibn Salul, and seek forgiveness for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the kind and merciful person that he is, he gave him the shirt and he said, call me so that I can pray over him. Call me when you're ready. So when he called him, he wanted to pray over him. So Umar pulled him. He pulled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, hasn't your Lord forbidden you to supplicate for the hypocrites? Right? Hasn't your Lord forbidden you to supplicate for the hypocrites? He's referring, radiallahu anhu, to the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Istaghfir lahum. This is in Surah Tawbah, verse 84. He says, "Istaghfir lahum, aw la tastaghfir lahum. In tastaghfir lahum 70 marratan, falan yaghfir Allahu lahum." Seek forgiveness for them, or don't seek forgiveness for them. Even if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ana bayn al khiyaratain." قال استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I have been given two choices. Allah says, seek forgiveness for them, or don't seek forgiveness for them. Right? So he says, basically what he's saying is, as long as I have a choice, I'm going to seek forgiveness for them, because Allah has said, do it or don't do it. Right? So he says, so he prayed. He prayed over him. He prayed over I think that verse is 80. Let me just check. The verse, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. is 80 in Surah Tawbah. Then the verse, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا came down. Do not ever pray over any one of them who dies. Do not ever pray over any one of them. So a clear prohibition came down. And that is in Surah Tawbah as well, in verse 84. That is verse 84. So those are the six times in which the Quran came down in agreement with Umar radiallahu anhu. And also from amongst the virtues of Umar is that he had been given glad tidings of Jannah. He had been given glad tidings of Jannah while he was alive in a number of narrations. From amongst these narrations is the well-known narration of Al-Ashara, Al-Mubashsharun Bil-Jannah, the 10 who were given glad tidings of Jannah. And these 10 were collected in one narration. They were mentioned in one narration. These 10 were the best of the Sahaba. These 10 are the best of the Sahaba, according to the A'immah, the Imams of Islam, like Ahmad. Ahmad says in his Sunnah, he says that the best of the Ummah is Abu Bakr and Umar, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, then the ten, then the Muhajirun, then the Ansar, and so on. So, so the narration basically goes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Talha fil Jannah." Talha is Talha bin Ubaidillah. Talha bin Ubaidillah. Wa Talha fil Jannah, wa Abd al-Rahman bin Auf fil Jannah. وسعد ابن أبي وقاص في الجنة وسعيد بن زيد في الجنة وأبو عبيدة ابن الجراح في الجنة. So the ten that were given glad tidings of Jannah. Also the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that says, بين نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ قال بين أنا نائم رأيتني في الجنة. So Abu Huraira, he says, we were sitting with the Prophet, while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, while I was asleep, I saw myself in al-Jannah, saw myself in paradise. فإذا امرأة تتوضأ إلى جانب قصر. So I saw a woman who was making wudu near a palace. She was making a wudu near a palace. فقلت لمن هذا القصر, لمن هذا القصر. So I said, to whom does this palace belong? To whom does this palace belong? قالوا لعمر. They said, it belongs to Umar. It belongs to Umar. فَذَكَرْتُ غِيرَتَهُ فَوَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرًا. He said, so I remembered his ghira, his protectiveness over his women. And I turned away. So, فَبَكَى عُمَرْ وَقَالْ أَعَلَيْكَ أَغَارُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So Umar cried and said, is it over you that I would have ghira? Is it because of you I would have ghira? I would not be protective over my women and have jealousy over my women because of you. Of course, because the Prophet ﷺ is ma'asum. He's ma'asum from such things. He would never do anything to infringe upon the honor of anyone. So that's evidence that, and there are others, but we'll stop at that. That's evidence that he was giving glad tidings of Jannah. From amongst his virtues as well is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, radiallahu anhu, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا لَقِيَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ قَطُّ سَالِكًا فَجًّا إِلَّا وَسَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ فَجِّكِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا لَقِيَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ قَطُّ سالكا فجا إلا وسلك فجا غير فجك. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, the shaitan never met you on a path ever, except that he took a path different to your path. Whenever shaitan would meet him on the path, he would take a different path, cross the road. So shaitan runs away. Shaitan runs away from Umar radiallahu anhu. In another hadith he says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَفِرُّ مِنْكَ يَا عُمَرْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَفِرُّ مِنْكَ يَا عُمَرْ. Also authentic. In another hadith he says, the shaitan runs away from you, Umar. The shaitan runs away from Umar radiallahu anhu. And another one that narrated regarding his virtues is a narration that says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَا أَنَا نَائِمْ أُتِيتُ بِقَدْحٍ بِقَدْحِ لَبَنْ فَشَرِبْتُ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ أَعْطَيْتُ فَضْلِي عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ بين أنا نائم أتيت بقدح لبن فشربت منه ثم أعطيت فضلي عمر بن الخطاب. While I was sleeping, I was brought a cup of milk. I drank from it. So I drank from it and I gave the rest to Umar. So in another narration it says, I drank it until I could see it flowing through my body, it was flowing out of my fingers. It was flowing out of my fingers. He said, I gave the rest to Umar. So they said, قَالُوا فَمَا أَوَّلْتَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So they said, what is your interpretation of this dream, Messenger of Allah? What is your interpretation? قَالَ الْعِلْمُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowledge. Knowledge. So this is a testament to the knowledge of Umar, radiallahu anhu. Another virtue is narrated. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَا أَنَا نَائِمْ رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ عُرِضُوا عَلَيِّ رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ عُرِضُوا عَلَيِّ وَعَلَيْهِمْ قُمُصُ. While I was asleep, people were shown to me. People were shown to me. They were presented to me. And the dreams of the prophets are true, by the way. The dreams of the prophet are revelation. Dreams of the prophet are revelation. They are true. They are revelation. They're not like the dreams of other people. They are revelation. Like when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to his son that I see that I will slaughter you. Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. Right? And he acted upon it because it is revelation, it is true, it is revelation. So he said, they said, what did you, oh sorry, so he said, people were presented to me. And they had on them shirts. They had shirts on. They had shirts. فَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الثَّدِي. Some of them reached up to the breast. Right? The chest, the breast. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And some of them were shorter than that. In another narration, it says they were longer than that. So shorter and longer. He says, وَعُرِضَ عَلَيَّ عُمَرِ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ وَعَلَيْهِ قَمِيسٌ يَجْتَرُّهُ. And I was shown Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he had a shirt that he was dragging. He was dragging the shirt. It was so long, he was dragging it. So, قَالُوا فَمَا أَوَّلْتَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. They said, what did you interpret it as? What did you interpret this dream as? قَالَ الدِّين. قَالَ الدِّين. He said, the deen, religion, faith. So this is a testament to the strength of Umar's faith, his deen, his worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Sahih al-Bukhari, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Okay, so inshallah we'll end there. There's more to Umar, and like I said earlier, it is befitting for us to know about Umar. And this is just really a summary, to be honest, of course, of his great journey, because there's a lot, of course. And we should return to the books to learn about the biography of, especially of the Sahaba in general, but especially of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and especially of Abu Bakr and Umar, because there is a lot to learn from it. There is a lot to learn from it, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we end Umdat al-Ahkam there, insha'Allah, and we resume with Adda wa Dawa in about 5 minutes, insha'Allah. So, continuing from where we left off, inshallah ta'ala, we saw that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that our prayers will be accepted as long as we are not impatient. As long as we are not impatient. And impatience is to pray for something and then feel as if the it's taking time for the prayer to be answered, and then give up. And then give up praying. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as long as you don't give up, your prayer will be answered. So we got to the next section, which deals with when is the prayer answered, and some prayers as well. Some of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prayers are mentioned also in this section. So it deals with what are the conditions and the times and the etiquette that help a prayer to be answered, or ensure a prayer is answered. He says, وَإِذَا جُمِعَ مَعَ الدُّعَاءِ وَإِذَا جُمِعَ مَعَ الدُّعَاءِ حُضُورُ الْقَلْبِ وَجَمْعِيَّتُهُ بِكُلِّيَّتِهِ عَلَى الْمَطْلُوبِ. So here he starts mentioning a number of things. Some of them are to do with the time, some of them are to do with the etiquette and so on of making the dua that will ensure that the prayer is answered. He starts with, he says, when along with your prayer, you have these following things. When you have along with your prayer, you have your supplication, you have the following things. Your presence of heart, presence of mind. Presence of mind or heart. And you focus completely on the thing that you are seeking from. You focus completely on the subject of your supplication. You focus completely on it. So you're not being absent-minded in your prayer, where your mouth, your lips are moving, but your heart is empty. So your mind or your heart is present. And the evidence for this one is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, he said, "Ud'u rabbakum wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Ud'u rabbakum wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Wa'lamu anna Allah la yastajibu du'aan min qalbin ghafilin lah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِّن قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَهُ. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supplicate to Allah or call upon Allah whilst having conviction that you will be answered. Have conviction that you will receive an answer. And know that Allah does not accept a supplication from a heedless heart engaged in some sort of idol or a heedless, distracted heart. Allah does not accept the prayer from a heedless, distracted heart. He says, wa sadafa waqtan من أوقات الإجابة الستة وصادف وقتا من أوقات الإجابة الستة. And he coincides, his prayer, his supplication coincides with one of the six times in which prayer is accepted. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says six here, but there are others as we will see inshallah. So he said, out of these six times. So if your prayer coincides, your supplication coincides, is done at one of these six times, then inshallah, the prayer will be accepted. Right? So this is another thing that you should do. So this is along with being having presence of heart. Also, try and do it at these following times. He says, وَهِيَ الثُّلُثُ الْأَخِيرُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And they are. So this is the first one. The last third of the night. The last third of the night. And this is because of a hadith that's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim and others. He says, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is narrated by Abu Hurairah, he says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إلى السماء الدنيا ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى كل ليلة إلى السماء الدنيا. Our Lord تبارك وتعالى, our Lord and Master, comes down every night to the first heaven. He descends to the first heaven every night. حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر. حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر. When a third of the night remains. When the last third of the night remains. When it remains just a third. He says, يقول, Allah says, or saying, من يدعوني فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is calling upon me so that I may answer him? Who is calling upon me so that I may answer him? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Who is asking me so that I may give him? Who is asking me so that I may give him? مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is seeking forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? Who is seeking forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. So that's one of the many narrations. Most of the narrations mention the last third of the night. Some of them mention half of the night. شطر. إذا ذهب شطر الليل. Some of them mention half. Half of the night. And some of them actually mention the first third of the night. But most of them mention the last third. They are the more authentic narrations. The ones that mention the last third of the night. Okay. He says, وَعِنْدَ الْآذَانِ وَعِنْدَ الْآذَانِ وَعِنْدَ الْآذَانِ وَعِنْدَ الْآذَانِ. And during the time of the adhan, the call to prayer. During the time of the adhan. And there are a few narrations that mention this as well. One of them, and it's authentic, Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated it. He said, إِذَا نُودِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ إِذَا نُودِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. When the prayer is called, the doors of heaven are opened. The doors of heaven are opened. وَاسْتُجِيبَ الدُّعَاءِ. And prayers are answered. Prayers are answered. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَاسْتُجِيبَ الدُّعَاءِ. This is narrated by Anas ibn Malik. This is narrated by Anas ibn Malik, and it is in Al-Jami' al-Saghir. It's by Al-Suyuti. Sheikh Albani authenticates it in Sahih al-Jami', which is his tahqiq of Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir. Another similar narration says, ثِنْتَانِ مَا تُرَدَّانِ. ثِنْتَانِ مَا تُرَدَّانِ. الدُّعَاءُ عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ. Two are not rejected. Two are not rejected. الدُّعَاءُ عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ. Supplication during the nida, the call to prayer. الدُّعَاءُ عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ. وَتَحْتَ الْمَطَرِ. وَتَحْتَ الْمَطَرِ. So that's an extra time that you can add to these times as well. And during the rain. During the rain. So during the time, the call to prayer, and during the rain. And during the rain, Ibn al-Qayyim doesn't mention it. So you can add that to the times as well. This is also in Sahih al-Jami', and it's narrated by Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Narrated by Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Okay, so we're going to go through these and also mention the evidences so that we know which ones are authentic and which ones aren't. And alhamdulillah, most of these are authentic. The vast majority of the things he mentions are authentic. But we just to know the evidences for them. He said, وَبَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ. وَبَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ. وَبَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ. Okay, so this one, there's a hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a'u bayna al-adhan wal-iqamati mustajab." Ad-du'a'u bayna al-adhan wal-iqamati mustajab. Fad'u. Ad-du'a'u bayna al-adhan wal-iqamati mustajabun. Fad'u. Prayer between the adhan and the iqama. The call to prayer and the call when the prayer is about to start is accepted. So pray. So pray. بين الأذان والإقامة مستجاب فدعو. So pray. That's narrated by Anas ibn Malik. It's also in Sahih al-Jami' and in الترغيب والترهيب الترهيب والترهيب. Also narrated by Anas ibn Malik, another version that says, "Ad-du'a'u bayna al-adhan wal-iqamati la yurad." Ad-du'a'u bayna al-adhan wal-iqamati la yurad. Dua between the adhan and the iqama is not rejected. It's never rejected. La yurad. It's never rejected. Also by Anas, radiallahu anhu, authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala. Okay. He says, wa adbara, or adbaru, adbaru salawatil maktuba, wa adbaru salawatil maktubat, wa adbaru salawatil maktubat. And after the obligatory prayers, the daily ritual prayers, the five daily ritual prayers. After the five daily ritual prayers. And there's a narration that says that Abu Umama Al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Ya Rasulallah, يا رسول الله أي الدعاء أسمع أي الدعاء أسمع." Messenger of Allah, which dua is most accepted, most answered dua? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جوف الليل الأخير. جوف الليل الأخير, in the last part of the night, the last part of the night. وَدُبُرَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ وَدُبُرَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. And after the obligatory prayers. After the obligatory prayers. دُبُرَ can mean after or at the end of. Okay, it can mean at the end of, meaning during the or after the tashahhud. But before you leave the prayer, before you actually do taslim, because there are narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to do dua before at that point of the prayer. So he said that we should after the tashahhud and then praying for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then salawat for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and praying and seeking refuge against the punishment or the fitna of Jahannam and the grave, and of life and death, and the Dajjal, he said, then he should choose any prayer that he wants. He should choose any prayer that he wants. So this could be referring to that point, or it could be referring to after the prayer, actual after the taslim. No doubt, there are narrations from the Salaf that they used to pray after the maktubat. They used to pray, it's narrated from Ahmed and so on, that he sees that as sunnah, to pray after the salawat. So Allah knows best. So take the opportunity also, after you finish your seeking refuge from those four things, to pray. A lot of people don't take the opportunity to pray during that time, during the prayer, before the taslim. They just finish that and then they make taslim. So you should you can pray at that time. Take the opportunity to pray. Make supplications. He said, so that is وأدبار الصلوات. He says, وعند صعود الإمام يوم الجمعة على المنبر وعند صعود الإمام يوم الجمعة على المنبر حتى تقضى الصلاة من ذلك اليوم. And when the Imam is ascending onto the minbar, the Imam is climbing onto the, he's stepping onto the minbar to make the khutbah, that is. From that time until the end of the prayer, until the end of the prayer, the Jumu'ah prayer. So during that time, وَآخِرُ سَاعَةٍ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ وَآخِرُ سَاعَةٍ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ, and the last hour after Asr, I mean before the sun sets. The last hour after Asr, meaning before the sun sets. So there are two here he is mentioning on for Friday. The first one, عِنْدَ سُعُود الْإِمَامِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ, and so on. Sheikh Albani says it's weak. He says, he basically says that anything narrated regarding the time on Friday, and there are many opinions regarding what is the time on Friday, because the hadith that is general that says there is an hour on Friday in which dua is answered. That if a servant is praying during that time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his prayer or her prayer. So the scholars then speculate as to what is that hour, what is that sa'a. Sa'a means a time, not necessarily an hour as it's translated today, but just a period of time, a medium, you know, period of time. So Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari mentions that there are 43 opinions. There are 43 opinions. But Sheikh Albani says that all of the ahadith narrated regarding the time are weak, except for the one that says the last hour after Asr. Except for the one that says the last hour after Asr. He says, وَالْتَمِسُ السَّاعَةَ. This is a hadith. وَالْتَمِسُ السَّاعَةَ الَّتِي تُرُجَى فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ إِلَى غَيْبُوبَةِ الشَّمْسِ. وَالْتَمِسُ السَّاعَةَ الَّتِي تُرُجَى فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ إِلَى غَيْبُوبَةِ الشَّمْسِ. Seek the hour that is hoped for on the day of Jumu'ah, the hour of acceptance. On the day of Jumu'ah, after Asr, until the sun sets. So the sun sets. So there are a few narrations. There's another one that says that Abdullah bin Salam, he says, Abdullah bin Salam, of course, being who was he was from the Ahl Kitab before, he was from the Jews. قلت wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jalis. He said, I said, and while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, they were in a sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna la najidu fi kitabillahi fi yawmil jumu'ati sa'atan la yuwafiquha 'abdun mu'minun. Inna la najidu fi kitabillahi fi yawmil jumu'ati sa'atan la yuwafiquha 'abdun mu'minun. Sa'atan la yuwafiquha 'abdun mu'minun yusalli. يصلي يسأل الله فيها شيئا يصلي يسأل الله فيها شيئا يسأل الله فيها شيئا إلا قضى الله قضى له إلا قضى له حاجته إلا قضى له حاجته. He said, I said while the Prophet ﷺ was seated, we find in the Book of Allah on the day of Jumu'ah a time, a period of time which any believer during which if any believer is praying and asking Allah for anything, Allah will fulfill that need for him. So during this hour, any believing servant who is asking Allah for anything will have it fulfilled for him. Allah will fulfill it for him. قال عبد الله فأشار إلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو بعض ساعة. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم indicated to me. He said, Abdullah said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم indicated to me, or a part of a period of time, meaning less than that. It's a small period of time. It's a small period of time. فَقُلْتُ صَدَقْتَ. So I said, true. I said, that is true. أَوْ بَعْضُ سَاعَةٍ. Or part of an hour, part of a period of time. قُلْتُ أَيُّ سَاعَةٍ هِيَ. So I said, this is one of the narrators, I said, which hour is it? أَيُّ سَاعَةٍ هِيَ. I said, which hour is it? Or which time? قال آخر ساعات النهار. He said the last hours of the day. قال آخر ساعات النهار. The last hours of the day. قلت إنها ليست ساعة الصلاة. إنها ليست ساعة الصلاة. He said, I said that time is not a time for praying. That is praying as in the ritual prayer, not supplication. That is not a time for the ritual prayer. Because he is referring to the prohibition to pray after Asr until the sun sets. It's not the time to pray. So he says, قَالَ بَلَى. So Abdullah said, he's negating it. بَلَى is used to negate a negation. The Arabs use it to negate a negation. So he's saying, it's difficult to translate in English, but basically he's disagreeing. He's saying, no, but rather, إن العبد المؤمن إذا صلى ثم جلس. He said, the mu'min, the believer, when he prays or when she prays and then sits, he sits and waits. لا يحبسه إلا الصلاة. So after he prays Asr, and he sits and he waits. He's waiting for Maghrib. لا يحبسه إلا الصلاة. He's sitting in the masjid for no reason except the prayer. It's not because he's chatting with his friends or something like that. He's waiting for the next prayer. فهو في الصلاة. He is in Salah during that time. As long as he's in the masjid waiting for the next prayer, he is in prayer. It is as if he is in prayer. So the people who pray Asr on the day of Jumu'ah, for example, they pray Asr and then they wait in the masjid for Maghrib. They wait. During that time, they are in prayer. As long as they have wudu, they are in prayer. And so they then, towards the end of that day, towards Maghrib, they start to supplicate. They supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their prayer will be answered. Insha'Allah azza wa jal. So that's what they're referring to. That's another narration. There are many of these narrations. So, this first, just as a last point, this first one that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, عند سعود الإمام, when the Imam is going on to the minbar until the end of the prayer, is actually narrated in Muslim. However, the Huffaz say that it is one of the hadiths that they criticized. In Muslim, in Bukhari as well, there are a number of ahadith that are criticized as not fulfilling the conditions, basically. These ahadith don't affect the idea that what is in Bukhari and Muslim are authentic, because this doesn't mean that you can now start doubting all the hadith. The hadith are a handful of a hadith that the Huffaz, okay? So there are specific people who know and have documented these hadith. So it doesn't go past those ahadith, okay? The sense of hadith is very, very stringent and very, 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 very specific. Very stringent indeed. And the people come, when we say that Al-Bukhari and Muslim have been accepted by the Ummah, it is not an understatement. Because the Huffaz come and they take these books apart. They take their narrations apart. They don't just say because Bukhari collected the hadith and Muslim collected the hadith, that's the end, khalas, these are imams. No, they actually go through them with a fine-tooth comb. And so they found a couple that were, you know, just a few here and there, and this is one of them that they say has a hidden flaw. It has a hidden flaw, so they don't accept it. This is according to Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala. The next one that he mentioned, so those are the six times that he mentioned. As I mentioned before, there are other times as well. There are other times as well that during which the prayer is answered, and it's a good idea to mention some of them, okay, as a fa'ida, because These are times that the supplication can be answered, and we should know them so that we can take advantage of them. Okay, so apart from these six times that he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, we also have narrations that talk about the sujood during the ritual prayer, the sujood during the prostration when your face is on the floor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narration says, أقرب ما يكون العبد أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجد فأكثر الدعاء, which roughly translates as a slave is closest to his lord and master when he is in sujood, when he is prostrating. So make a lot of dua in that state. So this is in addition to what we already what we already have seen. There's also a narration that says, make a lot of prayer during the good times. Fir Rakha, during the times of ease. Prophet the last hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira. It's narrated by Abu Huraira and is in Abu Dawud. It's in Abu Dawud. And authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani. Another one says, Man sarrahu an yastajib Allah lahu inda ash-shada'id. Man sarrahu an yastajib Allah lahu inda ash-shada'id wal kurab. Man sarrahu an yastajib Allah lahu inda ash-shada'id wal kurab. Falyukthir ad-du'a fi ar-rakha. فَلْيُكْثِرِ الدُّعَاءَ فِي الرُّخَاءِ. Whoever wants Allah to accept his prayer during hard times, times of worry and times of hardship, should pray a lot during times of ease. Should pray a lot during times of ease. Don't be like the people who never supplicate, and then when something happens, دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ قَائِمًا وَقَاعِدًا and so on. He only calls upon Allah when there are hard times. That's the only time that she knows Allah Azza wa Jal. She only supplicates, and some people are even worse, they only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during times of hardship. How can they expect their prayers to be answered? During times of ease, they don't bother, but during times of hardship, that's when they rush to pray and give sadaqah and all these things. And so, you know, dua includes supplication and also includes worship as well. Okay, that hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu as well. And is in Sahih al-Jami'. Sahih al-Jami', Sheikh Al-Bani. We saw earlier the rain, when the rain comes down, when the rain under the rain, that is during the time when there is rain. We saw that earlier. Also, on the day of Arafah. On the day of Arafah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ. The best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. Best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. وَأَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي. And the best thing I and the prophets before me have said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Also in Sahih al-Jami'. Also, amongst the times when prayer is accepted, is a prayer of a brother for his brother, or a sister for her sister. The prayer of a sister for her sister. So, Imran ibn al-Husayn narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, du'a'ul akh li akhihi. Du'a'ul akh li akhihi. Bi dhahri al-ghayb la yurad. Du'a'ul akh دعاء الأخي لأخيه بظهر الغيب لا يرد. The dua of a brother for his brother in secret, that is not in front of him, but in private, is not rejected. So your dua for your sister, and this doesn't mean just blood sister, this means first and foremost actually sister in Islam. Okay, sister in Islam. But if your sister is also a Muslim, then alhamdulillah, even better. So the dua of a sister for her sister in private, when she's not around, is accepted. Another narration says, this is by Abu Darda, this narration says, دُعَاءُ الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمْ مُسْتَجَابٌ لِأَخِيهِ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ دُعَاءُ الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمْ مُسْتَجَابٌ لِأَخِيهِ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. The prayer of a Muslim is accepted for his brother. Prayer of a Muslim in private for his brother is accepted. عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ مَلَكٌ مُوَكَّلٌ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ مَلَكٌ مُوَكَّلٌ بِهِ. Near his head is an angel that is put in charge of him. An angel put in charge of him near his head. كُلَّمَا دَعَى لِأَخِيهِ بِخَيْرٍ كُلَّمَا دَعَى لِأَخِيهِ بِخَيْرٍ. Every time he supplicates for his brother, he asks something good for his brother. He asks for something good for his brother. قَالَ الْمَلَكُ. The angel says, آمين. وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. The angel says, آمين وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. آمين, and for you is the likes of that. For you as well. So it's a win-win situation. Alhamdulillah. Okay, there's still more. Also, the prayer of a parent. Prayer of a parent. And the person fasting, and the person who is a traveler. As narrated by Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ لا ترد. ثلاث دعوات لا ترد. Three prayers are not rejected. Three types of prayers are not rejected. دعوة الوالد لولده. The prayer of a parent for the child. Prayer of a parent for the child. ودعوة الصائم. ودعوة الصائم. And the prayer of the one who is fasting. The prayer of the one who is fasting. وَدَعْوَةُ الْمُسَافِرِ. And the prayer of the one who is a musafir, a traveler. The prayer of the traveler. So those are three. Those are three. The prayer of the parent for the child, and the prayer of the one who is fasting, and the prayer of the traveler. Those are three more. Also, one to be aware of, da'watul mazloom, da'watul mazloom, the prayer of the oppressed. The prayer of the oppressed is accepted. So we have to be aware of that. And you can also take advantage of it if you are oppressed. He says, ittaqu da'watul mazloom. Anas ibn Malik narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqu da'wat al-mazloom. Beware of the prayer of the oppressed, the supplication of the oppressed. Wa in kana kafira. Wa in kana kafira. Even if he is a kafir. Because some people think that because they are Muslims, They can oppress non-believers. They can oppress them. This is wrong. This is wrong. And if he makes dua against you, then you will see the effects of it. You're not allowed to oppress anyone. You're not allowed to oppress anyone. Islam is a religion of justice. It's a religion of justice. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah does not forbid you from being just. Okay? Love and justice are two different things. So, just because the person is a non-Muslim doesn't mean that you can go around oppressing them and saying, you know, he's a kafir anyway. So what? He's a kafir. That's what the Yahud do. They say, "Laysa alayna fil ummiyina sabil." Now, if you read those verses in Surah Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, he said, if you give one of them a dinar, he will return it. If you're entrusting with a dinar, some of them, he will return it. They're honest. And some of them, if you give him a qintar, no, sorry, the other way around. If you give one of them a qintar, there's a large amount of money, a large amount of gold, he will return it. Right? He's trustworthy. And some of them, if you give him a dinar, one piece of gold, he won't return it unless you're constantly bothering him to do it. He won't return it to you. He said, that's because they say, "Laysa alayna fil ummiyina sabil." They have nothing on us. The ummiyun, referring to the Arabs those days, they were ummiyun before the book came to them, because they had the book. So they used to refer to the Arabs as the ummiyun, the people who don't read, the illiterate. And they were mushriks, right? According to the Ahlul Kitab, used to look down on them because they used to worship idols. And the Ahlul Kitab, they say, we have the book from Allah Azza wa Jal. So because of that, they say, well, they have nothing against us. We're people of the book, you know. And they do such things until today. So we're not like that. We're not like that. We don't oppress people. He says, وَإِن كَانَ كَافِرًا فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ دُونَهَا حِجَابٌ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ دُونَهَا حِجَابٌ. There is no veil. There is no veil between between it and Allah. There's no veil between it and Allah. In another narration, he says, اتقوا دعوة المظلوم فإنها تصعد إلى السماء كأنها شرارة فإنها تصعد إلى السماء كأنها شرارة. He said, beware of the prayer of the oppressed, because it rises into the sky like a spark. It rises into the sky like a spark. Right? And in another narration, it says that, he says, فَإِنَّهَا تُحْمَلُ عَلَى الْغَمَامِ. It is carried on the clouds. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي. Allah swears by His izzah and His jalal, His greatness, His might. لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. I will definitely help you, even if it takes time, even if it is after a while. I will definitely help you. All right, and in another narration, it adds a couple of more people, where he says, "Thalathatun la yuraddu du'a'uhum, thalathatun la yuraddu du'a'uhum." Three people. There are three people whose prayers are not rejected. There are three people whose prayers are not rejected. Al-Dhakiru Allah Kathira. The one who remembers Allah a lot. Wa da'watul madhloom. Wal imamul muqsit. وَدَعْوَةُ الْمَظْلُومِ We already know. And the Imam al-Muqsir is the just leader. The just leader. His prayer is not rejected either. So that's two more as well added to what we already know. The one who remembers Allah a lot and the just leader. Okay. Also, every day during Ramadan, every day and night during Ramadan. Because of a narration by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, that says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عُتَقَاءَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عُتَقَاءَ عتقاء في كل يوم وليلة يعني في رمضان Allah has people that He frees that is عتقاء He frees them from hell every day and night meaning during Ramadan He frees people from hell every day and night during Ramadan وإن لكل مسلم في كل يوم وليلة دعوة مستجابة وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ And every Muslim, every day and night, has a prayer that will be answered. Answered supplications for every Muslim during every day and night during Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Last but not least, a person who wakes up during the night. A person who wakes up, meaning sometimes when we're sleeping, we might just wake up, during the night for some reason. Maybe you're turning and then you wake up, or there's a noise or something like that. Just happen to wake up during the night. Apart from waking up to pray tahajjud, if you're one of the people that Allah has blessed to do that. But ta'ara min al-layl, meaning, يعني, he just woke up. So man ta'ara. This is a hadith, by the way. Ubadah ibn Samit narrates it. It's in Bukhari. من تعارى من الليل فقال Whoever wakes up in the night, he just happens to wake up in the night, فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير So the person says those words, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, wa hu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alhamdulillah, wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So very easy. لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير الحمد لله سبحان الله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر هذا نبيش يسأل سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله أكبر all that doesn't really matter ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ثم قال اللهم اغفر لي so he says those statements then he says Allah forgive me أو دعا أو makes a supplication أستجيب له it will be accepted from him فإن توضأ وصلى and if he then or she then makes wudu and prays قبلت صلاته the prayer will be accepted ثم قال اللهم اغفر لي أو دعا استجيب له فإن توضأ وصلى قبلت صلاته. In another narration by Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in Abu Dawood, he says, ما من مسلم يبيت على ذكر و على ذكر طاهرا ما من مسلم يبيت على ذكر طاهرا. Any Muslim who goes to sleep, goes to bed at night, yabitu, goes to bed at night, ala dhikr, meaning having remembered Allah before sleeping, remembering Allah, upon remembrance of Allah, tahiran, pure, ritually pure, you make a wudu before you go to bed. فَيَتَعَارَّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَيَتَعَارَّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And then wakes up at night. فَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا فَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And then asks Allah something good, whether it be from the dunya or it be something to do with the hereafter, any kind of good, material or spiritual. Illa a'atahu iyyah, except that Allah will give it to him. Allah will give it to him or her. So if you go to bed upon dhikr and upon purification, then you happen to open your eyes, you happen to be woken up during the night, and then you pray for anything good, Allah will give it to you. So those are just extra for us to know all the other times as well. So as you can see, there are many. And that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. There isn't one person except that he is one of those things at some point in time. Okay, everybody has a brother that they can pray for, a sister. It rains every now and then, especially here. And everyone once in a while wakes up at night for some reason. Even if they're not usually people who pray at night, everybody prays, alhamdulillah, 5 times a day. You can make your dua doing your sujood. And so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we'll stop there, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. We'll continue next week.